Most people would agree that Citizens United was a turning point for campaign finance in the United States, paving the way for super political action committees to inject record amounts of anonymous donations into this year's election. Another turning point for the American electoral process was the first use of broadcast media to sway public opinion. Today, it's hard to imagine an election cycle without the use of negative campaign ads. But back in 1934, it was a novel idea, one that proved deadly to the candidacy of Upton Sinclair in the California race for governor. Yes, the same Upton Sinclair who famously exposed Chicago's brutal meatpacking industry in his novel, The Jungle. In 1934, the threat of a socialist like Sinclair gaining the state's highest office led to an unprecedented media campaign to stop him. KALW's Art Persico has more in this story from our archives.
It's 1934, 5 years into the Great Depression. California's industry and agriculture had been hit especially hard. Farmers were getting low prices for their crops. Many workers lost their jobs as factories closed. Californians were desperate for a leader with vision. Enter Upton Sinclair. The prolific writer had previously run for national and state office several times as a socialist, but without success. Now a Democrat, Sinclair emerged as a politician with the right message at the right time, says San Francisco State University historian Robert Cherney.
The nation was in a serious situation by the early 30s. For the first time, here was a candidate for office in California saying, I have a plan to get you out of the economic situation that you're in.
Upton Sinclair, here in a 1962 lecture, remembers his 1934 campaign.
70,000 people in the state of California were admittedly starving. And the proposition came to me to run for governor on a program of production for use instead of for the profit of the big business interests.
Sinclair proposed a government-run statewide system of farm and factory co-ops.
Let the state put up the money, let the workers go in and work the factories and sell the goods and get the money to buy food. That was, in short, the EPIC program. EPIC means end poverty in California.
Sinclair traveled all over the state starting EPIC clubs. His ideas inspired thousands of Californians who took up his vision.
They built an enormous political movement. We had EPIC groups in every old town and village in the state of California, everywhere as I went. As I say, the thing grew until it became a tidal wave.
1,000 EPIC volunteers registered 350,000 new Democratic voters between January and August of 1934. In the Democratic primary that month, Sinclair beat his opponent, George Creel, a conservative Democrat, by a margin of almost 2-1. In fact, Sinclair received almost 100,000 more votes in his primary than incumbent Governor Frank Merriam received in the Republican primary. With the gubernatorial election just 3 months away, Upton Sinclair found himself in a good position to become the next governor of California.
Good times are surely coming. All business will be humming, and we'll give old poverty the air. If this epic plan is phony, then the rest is all baloney. So vote for Downey and Upton Sinclair.
But not everybody was happy about the sudden rise of the populist leader.
It just scared the wits out of the politicians and the big businessmen who run this state of California.
Historian Robert Cherney says that fear also mobilized Sinclair's opposition.
Having this former socialist campaigning on a radical platform as a Democratic candidate brought the Republicans a great deal of campaign funding that they hadn't had before.
The party used that money to hire the first modern political campaign consultants. One-time reporters Clem Whitaker and Leon Baxter were a married couple who founded Campaigns Incorporated. In their first project in 1933, they developed their PR skills, inserting propaganda into newspapers and radio, even writing scripts and doing sound effects, in a successful effort to defend the Central Valley Water Project against PG&E's opposition and huge resources. And they won. Emboldened by their success, they took their media campaign to another level when called upon to help defeat Upton Sinclair. Again, Robert Cherney.
Perhaps one of the most famous things that Whitaker and Baxter did in that 1934 campaign was to mobilize the Hollywood studios on their side. The heads of the major studios were almost all conservative Republicans.
Louis B. Mayer, chief of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer movie studio, collected a day's wages from every employee earning more than $100 a week to fund a plan that would reach a captive audience of Americans, people in movie theaters. Robert Cherney explains.
In the 1930s, when you went into a motion picture theater, there'd always be the movie tone news or the counterpart produced by other studios, in which there would be short segments of news accounts presented with motion picture film.
Every week, an estimated 40 million moviegoers, or about one-third of the American public, watched movie tone newsreels and those of other companies. Whitaker and Baxter realized that these short news films could be exploited to influence voters. With Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's resources, they created a smear campaign against Upton Sinclair.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the inquiring cameraman. All day I travel around California, the highways and the byways, the downtown districts, the residence districts, the factory districts, all for the purpose of digging out voters of California to express their views for your edification. Remember, they're not actors, they're nervous. I don't rehearse them, I'm impartial.
Again, Robert Cherney.
What Whitaker and Baxter did was to create a series of phony news films, so that people who went to the movies saw these and assumed that this was actual news rather than something that had been filmed on a studio lot.
Mr. Duncan, yes. Would you mind telling us how you intend to vote for governor next month?
Sure. I'm going to vote for Upton Sinclair.
I see.
And I will tell it to the housetop.
Mr. Branson, have you decided who you're going to vote for?
Yes, sir, for Upton Sinclair.
Have you any reasons why?
I've always been a socialist, and I believe he'll do the best for the people, for the working, especially for the working people, and even for the rich.
All lies. The vignettes were composed of actors playing roles. Celebrated director Irving Thalberg oversaw the production.
I'm going to vote for Upton Sinclair.
Will you tell us why?
Upton Sinclair is the author of The Russian Government, and it worked out very well there, and I think it should do here.
Other performers in the newsreel were identified as Frank Miriam supporters.
I feel that Sinclair is too radical. I'm born and raised in America.
I'm going to vote for Frank Miriam for governor for the reason that he is for democracy rather than socialism. And he won't involve us in any dangerous experiments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson.
Historian Robert Cherney says Whitaker and Baxter rewrote the rules of political campaigns in 1934 by taking advantage of the public's naivete.
They were being manipulated in a way that no one quite understood at the time, but which has become more and more common in recent times.
Sinclair lost the election 1.1 million votes to 900,000. Though he once again failed to reach elected office, Sinclair's grassroots effort did not go unrewarded. 26 epic candidates were elected to the California Assembly in 1934. The state's new political makeup helped shape new legislation, such as a graduated income tax, a tax increase on banks and corporations, and government support for worker-run cooperatives. But the lasting legacy of Upton Sinclair's run for governor in 1934 has been a completely unintended consequence. That is, the mainstreaming of the negative ad campaign. For KLW News, I'm Art Persico.